Hello everyone, and thank you for again listening to the Rowdy Buddhist. It's always wonderful to have this opportunity to share with you and talk to you. I wanted to do something a little bit more lighthearted this evening to help gain some perspective on some of the lifestyle changes or choices that you can make, especially since today we observe the new moon, which is the end of the lunar month, going into the new month. So therefore, this time period for us can be a time of great change as we go into the new lunar month. And one thing I wanted to speak about was the idea of finding good sleep, the energetic concept of sleep, that can very much assist our practice. Now again, all of these aspects of our daily life are to be expressed and of course practiced and exemplified on the holidays of the Rokusai Nichi. That's why specifically I'm speaking on this topic. You know, for many people it can be very difficult for them to unwind in the evening because, you know, they've done their job all day, they've had to get home, talk on the phone, deal with children, deal with other adults, and it's very tough for people to find that kind of off switch that is very important for us to be able to, according to the circadian rhythm, to start to slow down in the day. And again, right now is the changing of the season, going from summer to late summer, going into autumn, and during that time period it can be a very jarring time for many people and for people's bodies. So it's very important that we adhere to these principles and understand them, that as we go from summer, which is the element of fire, moving into the elements of metal, etc., going into the element of water, in which we calm everything down, so we start to go more internally than externally. And if we don't understand how to efficiently, you know, organize our lives, especially with those rituals, or we call dinacharya, which are kind of practice rituals that we can have in our life, these rituals are seen as actually extremely beneficial to reduce stress. And I believe when we reduce stress, it allows us to practice. And again, Master Tiantai speaks that when we're in a good state of health or a good state of mind, our practice will come more easily, and that we can enter into the jhana, or the different levels of awakening or seeing. So to counteract this kind of chaos that we have in our life, these ancient principles that they have, the basic idea, and tonight we'll talk about the evening routine, is extremely valuable, and you'll see the value of it. It's very important, again, as I stated before, not to do all of these at one time. Pick one of them and just implement them today or implement them tomorrow. And then little by little, you'll be able to, as you calm down, be able to assimilate more into your life and be able to grow those practices. But the most important is a small and consistent, as we always say with meditation. So, you know, this allows us, you know, the opportunity to perhaps change our routine. But new routines, as we know, can be challenging and difficult to maintain. So again, you know, the idea is simple and continuous. And so therefore, stay flexible and take it easy when you're integrating these practices into your life, so that you can develop a balance that you feel good, and then you'll be able to, your body and mind and everything will naturally have a connection with these practices and attribute them to something positive rather than something stressful. So in the evening, when you return, it's very important, as we all know, we do evening gongyo, or evening practice. We can, of course, as I've taught many people, practice our asana and simple meditation as we incorporate that in our practice. So after all of these hectic things during the day, settling down and considering, you know, first of all, relaxing your body because you've built up a certain amount of stress. So that's the purpose of the asana. And then the meditation is for slowing your breathing, balancing your breathing and balancing your mind. These are the ideal forms of emotional calming exercises, and they're for all body types, all kinds, and all ages. So through these practices, you can balance all the different aspects of your nature and constitution that needs to be addressed. So, of course, after we do asanas, we do our practice, we can do pranayama, and, of course, that and meditation. But again, they can be contributed into one. And, you know, we don't have to make it so long. Again, start simply and just be continuous and then work on each day growing. Of course, our main and important practice that we have in Nichiren Buddhism is, of course, chanting the Daimoku Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Second is to make sure you nourish your body properly. This means to prepare and eat a light, easy-to-digest dinner at least 3 hours before bedtime. Your sleep can be really disturbed by, at that time, if you go to bed too early to try to digest your meal while you're sleeping, or just eating too much in the evening. You'll become tired quickly, so you'll want to lay down, and you have to kind of, in a way, be mindful of this. The result of your, you know, is that your sleep won't be restful if you haven't eaten properly, and it doesn't allow you to properly digest your meal, so it leads to a definite long-term imbalance, which can really directly impact your health. So in the evening, as we see with noon is the, and that's the solar noon, not just noon on your clock, as we see in the Rokusai Nichi Uposatha Day holidays, we eat before that usually. Because that's the highest time of the sun, so it's the hottest time. That's where Agni, or the highest level of fire, the element of fire, is strongest. So that's where digestion is, of course, linked to this idea of Agni, or fire. And so that's why the larger, more dense meals would be in the noon time, at solar noon, or before that, rather than dinner. So dinner would be, of course, a light meal such as steamed vegetables or dal or soup. These are ideal, especially now going into after summer. Soups and root vegetables are very important. If possible, please avoid heavy meats, cheeses, fried foods, these kinds of more difficult to digest foods. There's plenty of recipes out there to support you in deciding what you should eat for the dinner time. Of course, enjoy leisure activity. Take a moment to disconnect from what you were doing to the day. You know, one of the typical after dinner low-key and relaxing activities is to take a walk, read a book, listen to relaxing music, color, you know, watch a funny, lighthearted movie, you know, nothing that's going to get your mind wrapped up in something. You know, computers and electronics and watching social media and also just even light itself can actually cause stress, which makes the cortisol, the stress hormone, which of course is very antagonistic to the melatonin, that is the relaxation hormone that you use with sleep. So when cortisol comes up, melatonin goes down, and that can be a real problem because you might not be able to stay asleep at night. You might find yourself waking up at like 3 a.m. in the morning. Again, this is a sign of possibly some other issue. So, you know, you can try dimming the lights and trying to, and again, there's many systems online. You can go to the circadian rhythm, which they can actually put on your phone, where it dims the actual lights on your phone or computer if you're working in the evening. And this, again, is too much artificial light, in the evening disrupts the body's circadian rhythm and affects the production of this melatonin that we need. And so also, you know, this melatonin is a very critical thing in our body, and that by it in our body, triggering sleepiness and keeping the blood sugar and blood pressure low, or levels of, that are healthy, so that we can sleep. And then the next is to, you know, wind down with a warm drink before bed. In Japan, they have a small amount of warm milk, you know, with a touch of ginger or sugar, or of course organic. You can also try organic rose petal tea, and there's a few different ways you can do that. There, you know, there's a lot of different teas you can use. Just be careful, of course, stimulants like very sugary drinks, etc. And then preparing to fall asleep, and I'll tell you more in the future, that, you know, there's some options of abhyanga, which means we make specific oil. And especially at this time, as we go into the winter and everything slows down, especially during the transitions towards what is called vata, which is a symbol of wind and ether. So that is a kind of dryness. So therefore, you rubbing sesame or coconut oil on the feet, your ears, or even your head at bed really helps you to fall asleep. It sounds strange, but again, you should make sure you take that light shower, not too hot, not too cold, and use some oil, especially at this time of the seasons. And again, remove and purify yourself before going to sleep, removing all of that. And when we take showers, we should understand that this is a way of purification of our lives and purification of our bodies and minds. And then again, they have so many different herbal support that you can have. So there's a lot of different herbs you can use. And then also going to bed properly at your time early, you know, before 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. is good. You know, in the practice of traditional practice, the idea is to wake up before Brahma Murta, which is about an hour and a half before sunrise. But of course, it's important to, during this time of regeneration, again, according to your body type, how much you sleep is you know, as you get, as you're younger or older, or of course your body constitution, that may be different. So this is just a general explanation. So you just need to find out what works. But the most spiritual time in the morning is that hour and a half before sunrise. So you would be able to check your clock and try to make those. So in most monasteries, they jump forward or go back for different parts of the season based on allowing people to have the correct amount of sleep that they need. Okay. And, you know, these are just a few things, and I would just choose one of them to help you in your practice, because, you know, you may be doing all of your traditional practice, but such as your morning and evening gongyo, and that's wonderful. But it's very important that we are maintaining a healthy body mind, that, you know, even spiritual practices can give stress to people. And that's the opposite. That's counterproductive of what we're trying to do. Master Chantai talks about the meditation disease or practice disease of when one becomes a fanatic rather than one becomes a, I would say, instinctually or naturally interested in practice. You know, for me, for a long time, to perform morning and evening practice was very challenging, even though I was a priest. And I realized that once I had properly regulated the aspects of my eating, drinking, you know, body, breathing, mind, it became a natural, instinctive practice. So therefore, it went very well. It encouraged, it built upon itself, and just continued to blossom like the lotus flower, continued to grow organically and naturally, which for me was much easier than forcing something. I think we all think we have discipline, but discipline only takes you so far. It has to be a natural and sincere awakening. It has to be a natural and sincere instinct, that this idea of bodhicitta, the aspiration that naturally comes forth from all the pores and of your body, and shines forth every day. So then, therefore, when you see, and your body and mind are watching and listening, they're observing. So when when you are able to reduce the stress, it first of all allows you to see clearer, but also your body realizes how to be able to balance itself. So if you are using alcohol to balance yourself, your body may think that that's what you need, or even too much sleep or eating particularly, or anything. But what is important is that we're able to observe and see, of course, work towards the healthier aspect, and that healthier aspect means to what leads us to awakening in our lives. I know that's not talked a lot about, but there is absolutely an awakening. And I believe it begins for most of us with the body. And that body is, of course, a creature of habits. So therefore, as we form and observe our habits and choose better habits and understand our nature and constitution, we can do what's proper for us. And therefore, we're able to thrive. And therefore, our practice thrives as well. So I thank everyone for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Namo myoho renge kyo.